You are listening to Radio Aryan.
And welcome to SS Britannia. Today's date is Monday, the 13th of November, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, on Radio Aryan at radioaryan.com. I would normally have Brutus of Troy with me today, but he doesn't seem to be around. I do need to get something recorded, though, so I'm afraid you're just going to have to listen to me and a solo podcast today. I do have a couple of subjects that I wanted to bring up. Something which has been going on for quite a while now. The left seem to be putting a lot of money and a lot of resources into trying to infiltrate our organisations so that they can try to expose us. And of course, there's nothing that they can actually expose because we don't say anything different in private than we do in public. And if they really wanted to know what we think about things, what we say, then it's quite a simple matter just to check out our websites. It's quite a simple matter just to download a Radio Aryan podcast. I mean, you can just check out the chat room if you want to hear the sort of things that we talk about, the sort of things that we are concerned about. But rather than do that, what they prefer to do is spy on us. They prefer to embed someone in our organizations. And in order to do this, these people have to lie. They take advantage of our good natures. They take advantage of the fact that we are polite and open and honest. And they take advantage of that. They take advantage of it so that they can sneakily record what people say. Now, we saw this happen with Hope Not Hate, and they infiltrated the London Forum. And they infiltrated the London Forum for a year. And all this guy had at the end of it was just mocking Stead's dress sense, which I don't really understand why he was mocking him for his dress sense. His dress sense is very British. We are very eccentric, the British are, as a race. We're known for that. And he has an eccentric dress sense. He looks cool, I think. They mocked him for that. And they basically showed Greg Johnson. Greg Johnson likes to remain anonymous, but they showed his face, something which, why do that? It's basically just trying to attack him. And Greg Johnson wasn't saying anything different to what he says in his podcast, what he says at countercurrents.com, he was talking about an ethnostate. And even the BBC recently interviewed him. He was on a BBC program about Savitri Devi, saying exactly the same things, and that was a radio program. The BBC were decent enough not to show his face. But this Hope Not Hate group, they infiltrated the London Forum and tried to get more information when he went over to America. And I mean, he got nothing from these people, nothing at all. And it must have cost a fortune to pay his wages for the year and for him to fly around the world. I mean, he went to Switzerland, Sweden, I believe it was. He went to America. He was in Britain. All sorts. It cost an absolute fortune to do that and to film everything. And yet they come out with nothing at the end of it. And recently we've had the same thing happen to a group of people, in actual fact, an organization called Hard Cash Productions. They basically embedded three separate females with different organizations for a year. I mean, they've paid them a year's wage. And they must have paid them danger money, of course, because they're going undercover. Never mind the fact that we're not dangerous people, and none of us have ever been accused of any violent crimes. But they followed Anne-Marie Walters around. Who else did they follow around? They tried to infiltrate Britain First. They tried to infiltrate Generation Identitaire, the British organisation. They went to the John Tyndall Memorial Meeting, which was organised by Heritage and Destiny, which is a pan-nationalist meeting. They tried to infiltrate the National Front, and they particularly latched on to Julie Lake from the National Front, who I'm hoping we're going to get on Radio Aryan next week sometime to talk about this. They particularly latched onto Anne-Marie Waters. And at the time, Anne-Marie Waters was campaigning for the leadership of UKIP, which unfortunately she lost. You know how I feel about that. I think it's quite an insult to the British alt-right that we didn't all get together and try and help her to win the leadership at UKIP. But she failed. And now she started up her own organization. And Anne-Marie Waters is not an ethno-nationalist. She's a civic nationalist. She doesn't want to see the Islamization of the country. She doesn't want to see the white people replaced by other races. Nobody does. Nobody wants to see that at all. And yet these filmmakers, this Hard Cash Productions, seem to think that this is a horrific thing to say. One of the things that Anne-Marie Waters said was, did you know that Muhammad is now the most common name for baby boys? And if you don't understand why that is a bad thing, then you must be incredibly stupid. And this was played just before the adverts. This was the cliffhanger for the commercial break. And yet I don't know of anyone that would think that was a good thing. To think that there are now so many foreigners in our country that they are outbreeding us, and that there are more of them than there are of us. If the most popular baby's name is Muhammad, I mean that's a shocking statistic. That really is. And yet the program makers seem to think that was horrific. Another piece that I remember from watching it, they were filming Generation Identitaire, and one of the shocking things that Generation Identitaire said was that, well, our people don't want to be degenerate. We don't want to get drunk and be degenerate. And we have intelligent, good-looking young people that want to be fit and don't want to be degenerate like the rest of, and like the rest of the students are encouraged to be. Now, anybody hearing that is going to think, oh, what good people. What decent people. They don't want to be degenerate and immoral. And yet, again, the program makers seem to think that this was a horrific thing for people to say, and this Generation Identitaire are somehow a threat to the country. What else did they say? There are some other particularly weird things that they chose to concentrate on. They also tried to concentrate on the National Front. And one of the platforms of the National Front is that pedophiles should be executed. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with saying that child rapists should be executed? They're not saying we should form gangs and go out and kill them ourselves. What they are saying is that there should be a death penalty. They want the death penalty to be brought back in Britain. And that's something which is, again, is very popular. There are more people that wish to have the death penalty back in Britain than people that don't wish to have the death penalty. And yet, somehow, this Hard Cash production seemed to think this was an absolutely terrible thing to say. Now, don't forget, they've been filming these people for a year, and this is all that they could come out with. They never came across any plotting to cause property damage even, let alone physical damage to anyone. They couldn't find anything at all. And it makes me wonder why it is that they're bothering to actually do this. If they're not actually finding anything that's so shocking, then why is it that they're doing it? Well, the reason why they are doing it is because it puts, they want, well, that doesn't actually put people off, but that's what they want. They want to put people off from coming to our meetings, joining the National Front, joining Anne-Marie's party, and not because of the views that are expressed, because the views that are being expressed are the views that you hear everywhere. Everywhere you go in Britain, you'll hear these same views being expressed by the indigenous British people. They're not shocking things. They're exactly the same things that our parents said, that our grandparents said. So that's not the reason. The reason is because people will be frightened to join the National Front or to go to London Forum meetings or any meetings, Generation Identitaire or even Anne-Marie Waters. They'll be frightened to go because they will think that there may well be spies there, spying on them and trying to take pictures of them so that they can then expose them. That's the reason for doing it. And there's a lot of money that's being put into this, a hell of a lot of money. This program that was on last week, exposing the far right, there were no adverts in the first half an hour. It was on ITV, and ITV is full of commercial breaks. So whoever it was that paid for this paid for there to be no commercial breaks. They also paid for it to be on prime time. It was on 10:30, right after the main news on ITV. I think there was one more commercial break after that. And they paid the wages for these girls, three girls, to try and infiltrate organisations for a year. So that's one side of it. This tells us what we're up against. They're willing to spend an absolute fortune. They have a fortune backing them up. And we have nothing. We don't have any money coming in to back us up. We do everything on idealism because we believe in what we are doing. These people that infiltrated the organisations, they're prostitutes. They did that for money. They were paid to use their guile and their deceitful natures and their looks, because they were women, of course. So they were paid to use their looks to try and pull the wool over the eyes of the people that have been kind and decent enough to them to take them under their wing and be friendly towards them. And then to spy on them. It's the equivalent of some dirty pervert trying to film up women's skirts on the subway or something. That's what these women were doing. I really hope that their families are thoroughly ashamed of them and ashamed of their behaviour. Because I'm certain that their grandparents, if not their parents, would have shared exactly the same beliefs as the people that they tried to film. Now, towards the end of this documentary, it was becoming quite clear that they hadn't actually found anything shocking to shock the nation with. So what they did, they tried cutting in bits of one person speaking about something with other people talking about things to try and make it seem as if people were plotting violence. There was somebody that said, oh, these people want guillotining. And this was right after somebody else said, oh, it's the Jews. But it wasn't the same person speaking. It was different people speaking. What had actually been said was talking about a violent attack on a forum meeting where a gang of Antifa turned up with balaclavas, wielding a motorcycle chain and throwing rocks through the windows. And they attacked a 70-year-old disabled man who died 6 months later. And the security guard that was on the door, he said they had murder in mind, these people. They had murder in mind. And there was a huge scuffle, windows broken. As I say, a disabled man who died 6 months later, bloody and wounded. And none of these people have been caught. None of these people have been caught at all. And Julie Lake knows all about this, and she would have told these girls that were trying to infiltrate all about this, but they didn't say anything about that in this program. What they did was they cut the response to somebody talking about that, which was to say those people should be guillotined. They should be basically, that's a silly thing to say. Why would you say guillotined anyway? That's a French punishment, but they certainly should be brought to justice because that is terrorist behavior. That's what terrorists do. They physically attack people or they damage property. And what this Antifa did, they did both. They damaged property and they damaged people. And the point of it was to intimidate the venue owners so that the venue would not allow any more nationalist conferences or meetings there. And also to intimidate and frighten the people there, considering a large portion of the people there were elderly. The elderly people, pensioners, and disabled as well, that these cowards in balaclavas with weapons chose to attack. That was the point of them doing it. And yet nothing's been done about it. None of these people have been arrested. there was a short article about it. I think this happened probably about February, March time this year. I mean, we spoke about it here at Radio Arium. But that was what was being talked about. But this organization, this Hard Cash Productions, made it seem as if someone was saying, oh, it's the Jews that should be guillotined. So they were so unable to actually find anything on the people that they were choosing to record that they ended up having to use deceit. They ended up having to twist things and make it seem as if it was something that it actually wasn't. And further to that, what these program makers actually wanted to do, and they made this quite clear, because the letters that they sent out to the various people they've been following around were shared online. So I've seen the letters that they sent out. And they said that the point of the program was that they wanted to infer that the far right was a huge terrorist threat to Britain. And they wanted to link all these organizations with former members of National Action and say that National Action are a terrorist group. So therefore, anyone that knows any of the former members of National Action, they're linked with terrorists. That's what they wanted to say. Now, this National Action as a group, when they were a group, because they haven't existed for a year now, when they were a group, they were never ever accused of any violent crimes. Never, not once. I don't think they were ever accused of any property damage either. So they were never convicted or accused of any terrorist crimes. The reason for labelling them a terrorist organisation, in the words of Amber Rudd, is because they were anti-Semitic, pro-Nazi, anti-homophobic and racist. None of those things are violent. All of those things are just the way that people think. And the way that people think comes from processing what they see around them. You're not going to be able to change the way people think unless you change what they see around them. You know, maybe people wouldn't be so racist if our country wasn't being flooded with third world savages. Why would anybody be racist if they weren't being forced to share their living space with people that had a completely different culture and a completely different way of doing things and were quite hostile and aggressive towards them? If they weren't there, then people wouldn't be racist. So they're basically trying to link all these organizations with a group that's been designated as terrorists, even though the group hasn't actually carried out any violent acts. And of course, now that they've designated them as terrorists, they can say that the actions that National Action were involved in, with things like putting stickers up, creating and sharing documents, they can then say that these are terrorist acts. Putting stickers up is now a terrorist act. Sharing documents is now sharing terrorist documents because it may have been a document that National Action used. So this is what they're trying to do with the former organization. This is a capital that they're trying to make out of designating this group as a terrorist organization. When we have real terrorist organizations in Britain on the left that carry out violent acts, smash places up, try to intimidate people so that they don't go to our meetings. And the people they're trying to intimidate are patriots, people who love their country, people who love their country so much and their people so much that they're willing to run the risk of being attacked by these left-wing terrorists. But nothing's done about the left-wing. Nothing's done about the left-wing terrorists. In actual fact, the program makers of this Hard Cash Productions, they went to the people who sponsor these terrorists to get comment on what was going on. Their talking heads that they had on this program were Hope Not Hate. And Hope Not Hate are the ones that funded the previous infiltration that I was talking about, the infiltration of the London Forum by this Swedish homosexual. They funded him to go there, and he fed the information to other antifas who were then at the London Forum meetings trying to terrify the people that were going in there. There was a meeting in a hotel, and the police had to go outside to stop the antifa from getting into the hotel and smashing it up. And it may well be that the reason why Julie's forum meeting that got attacked by these thugs wielding motorcycle chains and weapons. The reason why that got attacked may well be because this Hope Not Hate character that infiltrated the forum, he may have fed the information back to them. So you've got a link between Hope Not Hate and violent left-wing terrorists. And this very group, this Hope Not Hate group, are invited on to the program Exposing the Far Right to discuss what's being said. And they're saying that this is a huge threat. The far right in Britain is now a huge threat. The reasoning for that is because they're young, intelligent, basically, and they know how to use social media. That seemed to be why the far right is a threat, because apparently the new far right are not the old caricatures that people had of the far right. They're not all skinheads with tattoos. I don't think they ever were. I don't think nationalists ever were all skinheads with tattoos. I mean, we've got plenty of nationalists today. Richard Edmonds, for one, Steve Frost. You know, we've got a lot of British nationalists that have been involved for 30 or 40 years or more, and they're not skinheads with tattoos. And in actual fact, the skinheads that we do have with tattoos are usually very, very good people. The ones I've met have been very intelligent, very, very knowledgeable on what's going on. And the reason why they may have had tattoos is because they were involved in the original skinhead movement, which was very big in the late 70s and the early 80s. And of course, tattoos last for life. But you shouldn't, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover. You can't say, well, oh, these guys are bad because they look menacing. It was the same movement then as it is today. We've just got more young people involved again, just as there was young people involved originally in these skinhead movements. The difference is today, there isn't a difference. It's just that the clothing is different. Back then, it was trendy to have a shaved head and wear your jeans and your Doc Martens. You also had punk going at the same time. So the reason why people were dressed like that is because it was fashionable too at the time. And if you look at the young nationalists, the young millennial nationalists that we've got today, again, they're good looking, they're fashionable. And the skinhead movement were good looking and fashionable for their time. It's just that the press, the mainstream media, the dinosaur media has chosen to continue using this image and pretending that that's what nationalism is all about. Whereas that's not what nationalism is all about. It's far deeper than that. Far, far deeper than that. Once you realize the reality of race, you realize how lucky you are to be white, and the fact that you have something that these other races don't have, and it's been entrusted to you, you are the guardian of it, and you pass that on down to your descendants, and your role is to protect that and to improve the world around you for your descendants in the same way that your ancestors protected it, which is why you are white, because they protected it and didn't interbreed with any of these other races, and in the same way that they improved the world around us, which is why we have all the technical marvels that we have today. But unfortunately, the traitors in government are giving that all away as fast as they can to foreigners, and encouraging us to interbreed and destroy our genome. Because it's not about hating other races. It's not about hating mulattoes or mongrels. It's about trying to prevent that unfortunate event happening in the first place. Think about it. If you're white, you're white because every single one of your ancestors refused to interbreed with anyone else. And they chose very wisely who they were going to breed with. That's why, if you're white, you have the talents that you have and you have the gifts that you inherited, is because your ancestors chose wisely who they interbred with. If you look at these mulattoes and these mongrels, they don't have any ancestors. They don't have any ancestors that look like them. They will never have any descendants that are anything like the people that came before them. They don't have anything in common with their grandparents or their great-grandparents. They're just cut adrift. And they're cut off from the white race. They're no longer a part of our tree. They're a dead branch. If you imagine the white race is like a tree, those Mongols are dead branches that have been cut off the tree. They're never going to grow again. They're not going. They can't sprout again and grow the white race again. They're gone, gone forever. None of their descendants will ever be white again. And that's a shocking thing. It doesn't mean that you hate the other races. It means that you want to preserve your own race. And that's what nationalism is about, is preserving your ethnicity. So you've got people that feel so strongly about this, they're prepared to put up with all these risks that are involved. But there's certainly no violent aims in it. Nobody wants to go out and bash Pakis or anything like that. What we advocate for is obviously for them to go home, but we advocate for them to be given incentives to move, like go to the Syrian refugees and say, here you are, here's £10,000, go back to Syria and rebuild it. Go to the Sudanese, here you are, here's £10,000, go back to the Sudan and you can buy yourself a mud palace. You no longer need to live in a mud hut. You can buy yourself a mud palace to go and live in. And it would still be a lot cheaper than having to pay the healthcare, the education costs, and everything else that we have to pay out for with these savages that are in our countries. Now, another thing that this program did, it referred to people in prison. We've got people on remand in prison, and they're in there on charges of being members of a proscribed organization. This is referring to National Action again, the organization that disbanded a year ago. Long-time listeners will remember there was a statement written by the organizers of National Action saying that it was no more, that the website was being taken down, not to make any more inquiries about it. The organization was gone, and they did not want to have it on their hands if anybody was arrested for being a member of National Action, because they would blame themselves for that. So the organization was no more. And if anybody is saying, oh, I'm a member of it, then that is them boasting, trying to make themselves look big, because the organization doesn't exist anymore. So the organization stopped, but we still have people that are arrested. They're on a remand in prison. They've been accused of being members of this organization that no longer exists. They deny the fact that, they deny it. They say, look, we are not members of National Action. None of them have pleaded guilty to being members of National Action. And yet this program had already convicted them. It referred to them as members of National Action, even though the court cases haven't been heard yet. So this program prejudiced these court cases. It tried to, anyone that is on the jury for these court cases, if they saw this television program, then they've already been prejudiced, because they've been told that these people are members of the organization. So you've got a slander there and a libel. Yet, again, where we don't have the financial backing of the left, we can't really take them to court over this. I hope that this program gets spoken about to the people that we do have on remand, because they can say, well, the jury is going to be prejudiced because this ITV program convicted us all already and said that we were members, even though they weren't. Now, another awkward thing about this is when people are talking about the proscribed organization and they talk about people who were members of it, they're talking about people that were members of it when it was a legal organization, when it was perfectly legal to be a member of it. So it gets a little bit awkward there. And also, when this program is saying, well, these people are associated with them, they talk to them, the BBC did an interview with Ben Raymond. So the BBC are associated with the terrorist organization. The BBC still use pictures of National Action. And yet using pictures of them is one of the charges that are against these people that are in prison. Apparently they're in prison for having National Action propaganda on their computers, like having images saved. Well, the BBC have got images saved of National Action, and they use them. They regularly use them. They regularly use the National Action logo. All these court cases against them are on very shaky ground, I think. And this program did its best to prejudice anybody watching it against these young lads, to say that they were members of National Action when it just doesn't exist anymore. It's like when Amber Rudd banned Scottish Dawn and this other organisation. They were nothing to do with National Action. If you've got people that were members of it, they're not suddenly going to stop being patriots. They're not suddenly going to stop loving their race. You can't stop being white. And once you realise what it means to be white, there's no going back. There's no going back. You're going to stand up for your people because you know that's the reason why God put you on this earth. And these people are not going to stop being nationalists. They're going to continue being nationalists. They're going to form new organisations. And they're going to keep within the law, which is why Amber Rudd had to prescribe Scottish Dawn and this NS131, I think it was, she had to prescribe them as terrorist organisations because none of them had committed any crimes. She had no other reason to even arrest these people. So she banned them as being terrorists. And that's the reason why they were banned as terrorists, because they hadn't committed any crimes. And, you know, any nationalists that are listening that want to be an activist and do activism, then, you know, don't commit crimes. I'm not advocating people commit crimes. I'm not advocating people commit violence here. What we try to do here on Radio Aryan is provide solid ideological justification for nationalism and encourage people and entertain people as well and provide an alternative to the degenerate media that we have, the dinosaur media and the television and all that stuff. I know we're nowhere near as good as that, but I do like to think that we do provide somewhat of an alternative to it. But these young lads, they're not going to stop being nationalists. And they're going to have friends that are other nationalists that are going to be concerned about them when they're in prison, like Julie Lake was. I mean, one of these allegations that this Hard Cash Productions made was that Julie Lake was friends with a National Action member. And she was concerned about the National Action member. And obviously they cut bits out of what she actually said. But she said, well, you know, he's a young lad. He's not very tall. He's not a big lad. And he's in there in prison on his own. And she was concerned for him, obviously. You know, she's obviously got motherly feelings. She's a woman. And this young lad, you know, he's in prison on his own. So, of course, she's concerned for him. Of course, she's going to say people should be writing to him. And innocent until proven guilty. He hasn't been proved guilty of anything. He's got accusations against him of making two speeches, where apparently he was inciting racial hatred. Maybe he could have chosen his words a little bit better, but certainly nobody's gone out and attacked anyone because of anything that he said. Another one of these cases is apparently, I mean, I don't know these people involved. This is hearsay here. I haven't spoken to the people involved. But apparently another one of these cases is that they've been accused of plotting to murder a Labour MP. And apparently this was just something that was said in a pub that was taken out of context. Obviously, something like the wording that was used in Hard Cash that was taken out of context, where somebody said, well, those people should be guillotined. Or those people should be shot. When it was talking about these Antifa that attacked the disabled man who died 6 months later. Yeah, that was the context of it. So something like that would have happened in the pub. And because there was a spy in there, only this time it was a spy sent in by the government, not by one of these shady left-wing organisations, the young lad was arrested for it. Oh, and because another one in the group, I think, had bought one of those show swords. Not one that can actually be used, but just an ornamental sword. I used to have an ornamental sword. Certainly wasn't, never contemplated ever using it on anyone. It's just an ornamental sword. So this is the ridiculousness of these accusations that are against these young lads. And it's just being used to try to intimidate and frighten other people from becoming nationalists. It's like there's another tactic they have as well. They'll arrest you for something like stickers or saying something online or a speech at a protest, and they'll bail you pending further investigation. And then the further investigation will drag on for a year or 2 years, and they'll keep rebailing you, and they'll have bail conditions. that you're not allowed to go on protests, or you're not allowed to comment on websites, or you're not allowed to speak to people. And they'll have, make all these imposing bail conditions that restrict what you do, and they'll put your name in the newspaper that you've been arrested, so you end up losing your job. And it was this behaviour, it was this treatment that led my friend Paul Hickman to kill himself the other week. He, a long-time nationalist, but because of these imposing bail conditions that kept being, these restrictive bail conditions that they refused to lift, pending investigation, and because of the exposure that he had and losing his job, it all became too much for him. So it's all dirty tricks that these people are using against us. So you've got bail conditions, people being put on remand. People that have never been accused of a violent crime in their lives that have been put behind bars because of things they might have said. An accurate reporting, fair, unbiased reporting, would be pointing that out. They would be pointing out that these people have been locked up over free speech issues. They're not terrorists. There was tenuous links to Thomas Mayer made in this program as well. That's the person who was convicted of killing Joe Cox. Now, all along, every time they mention Thomas Mayer and the killing of Joe Cox, they have to bring national action into it. And a lot of the time, they try to claim that Thomas Mayer was actually a member of National Action. Of course, he wasn't. What happened was, someone in National Action sent a tweet saying words to the effect of one down, another 164 MPs to go, or words to that effect. Bit tasteless, but it certainly wasn't meant to be taken as some kind of order for National Action to go out and murder MPs. It was basically saying how disgusted people are at these traitors that we've got in government. It's not illegal to say that they are traitors. And for years, people have said that all those MPs should be lined up against the wall and shot, or all those MPs should be hanged, or particular MPs. Look at what happened when Margaret Thatcher died. Look at the really offensive behaviour of people dancing around as if they were dancing on her grave, singing Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. I don't particularly like Margaret Thatcher, but once somebody's dead, I mean, have some taste. But these guys, completely tasteless, they were obviously celebrating that the woman was dead. None of them were locked up. None of them were locked up for that. And yet this, just because someone in National Action sent out a tweet saying a load more to go. I mean, it's basically a tasteless joke. Because of that, they like to link the killing with National Action. And this program did the same. Now, this guy that actually killed Joe Cox, they say he was a nationalist, but he wasn't a member of any nationalist organization. They say that we need to clamp down on Twitter and Facebook, and Amber Rudd says it's the internet that's encouraging all this terrorism and violence. Well, he never used the internet. This guy never had a Twitter. He wasn't a part of the alt-right. He wasn't a part of the internet nationalist scene, which has come about in the last 10 years. He was nothing to do with that. I don't think he was a nationalist anyway. They said that he had Second World War memorabilia. But it wasn't revisionist memorabilia. It wasn't revisionist videos exposing the lies about the gas chamber hoax. It was the World at War. Schindler's List. Approved World War II videos is all that he had. And because when he killed her, he said, death to traitors, freedom for Britain. I mean, that could mean anything. That really could mean anything at all. I mean, he could have been saying that for economic reasons. I mean, we've learned since then that his house was going to be given away to a Pakistani family, a family of refugees. And he'd been living in that house all his life. His grandparents had had it. His parents had it before him. And he was going to be kicked out. Joe Cox was going to kick him out from that house. And I think that's far more of a reason why he flipped and killed her. But the media jumped on it straight away and used it to smear nationalists with. Now, why is it they do this? Why is it they do this? They claim to be fair and even-handed, and they're not. And there's a reason why they're not. And I've covered this before as well. I believe I did it on the Stormer Report, maybe, with Lee Rogers, but I might be wrong. But I've just got I actually got the information from Nationalists for UK. It's basically from the National Union of Journalists guidelines, the reasoning why they do this. If you look at their journalist guidelines, it's pretty sneaky, really, because at the top it says a journalist at all times upholds and defends the principle of media freedom, the right of freedom of expression, and the right of the public to be informed. Well, this is all we ask for, is that we have freedom of speech, freedom of expression, the right to speak to the public. But that's been taken away from us. It also says that a journalist strives to ensure that information disseminated is honestly conveyed, accurate, and fair. Well, none of these infiltrations have been accurate and fair. Another thing that I haven't mentioned yet, Jack Buckby was also followed around by these spies, and he introduced them to homosexuals, Negroes, Jews, and Muslims. He was bent over backwards to show them that he wasn't a racist. So what did they do? They showed film of him when he was with the BNP and accused him of being a neo-Nazi. Completely dishonest. Completely dishonest. Let's move back to these National Union of Journalists guidelines. When it comes to bits about the far right, it doesn't specifically mention the far right, but when it's talking about diversity, it says a journalist produces no material likely to lead to hatred or discrimination on the grounds of a person's age, gender, race, colour, creed, legal status, disability, marital status, or sexual orientation. So what that's basically saying is that any facts such as the ones which show that blacks are 10 times more likely to be involved in selling drugs than white people, that can't be produced. The mainstream media can't produce that. Or if they are going to produce that, then they have to produce something that opposes that, which is what it comes up with next. It says that when reporting on racist organizations, it doesn't actually define what that is, obviously. The racist organizations is defined by somebody. I wonder if you can guess who. But reporting on racist organisations, it says you do not have to report on them. But the free press is supposed to report on everything. So they don't want you to report on them in the first place. But it says, as with any interviewees, check the claims made by representatives of such organisations and then seek opposing comments. So it's basically saying, check what they say, don't report on that, report on the opposing comments. So if it was the example that I just came up with, blacks are 10 times more likely to be selling drugs than whites, they would say, don't report on that. Report on the opposing comments, which are that police are picking on blacks with stop and search, and 10 times more blacks are stopped and searched than whites are. Of course, that's quite true, but 10 times as many blacks fit the witness description statement for somebody selling drugs, which is why they've been stopped. But the media won't tell you that. They'll tell you the opposing comment, basically. And this is why, because it's in their journalist guidelines. Also, when reporting on racist organizations, seek to broadcast or publish information exposing the myths of racist organizations. And what they mean by myths there is lies. So they're basically, it's a foregone fact that racist organizations are just telling lies. So they have to expose the lies that we tell. If they can't actually find any lies, then they have to make them up, which is what this hard cash organization did. They just made things up, even by splicing two bits of a conversation together to make it seem as if it was one. If a racist party has been elected to local government or the European Parliament, rules around party election broadcasts do not necessarily mean you have to cover them. So what they're saying there is if the dumb goyim choose to vote for a populist party, well, you don't have to cover them anyway. Just don't give them any media coverage, such as the way that they don't give Anne-Marie Waters any positive media coverage. Or what they're saying there is you don't have to give them any coverage at all. But of course, it's getting harder and harder for them to get away with not giving us any coverage because people want to know. People want to know what the alternative for Deutschland think. They're in the German government now. People want to know what the Freedom Party of Austria, what they think, because they're in coalition now. They're in power now. And yet we don't hear anything about them. We don't see them interviewed on the BBC News because their guidelines here say that they don't have to. It says, if you feel uncomfortable about covering racist parties, get advice from your union. And finally, it says, make sure you research the background of racist organisations and their members. For example, see Searchlight, Unite Against Fascism, Reporting the Far Right, and Hope Not Hate. Now, Unite Against Fascism, that is Antifa. That is an Antifa organisation. Hope Not Hate is not so openly Antifa, but they're aligned with these violent leftist terrorists. So the actual National Union of Journalists guidelines say when you are going to be reporting on a designated racist organisation, again, who says who is the racist organisation or not? Is it these Jewish lobby groups? That's what it seems like to me. Is it the media? Who is it that is the first one to designate an organisation as racist? But once they've been called racist, once they've been given this slur, then don't report on them. Report on what the enemies of them say. Report on what the terrorists say. Report on what the left-wing terrorists have to say about the nationalists. For example, Searchlight, UAF, or Hope Not Hate. So it's saying don't even ask the nationalist parties for what they have to say. Don't even ask them for a comment. Don't ask them for what they have to say about things. Just ask the left-wing terrorists, and then we'll report that. And the left-wing terrorist violence will cover that up. Of course, it doesn't say that in their guidelines there, but that's obviously a part of the guidelines because they don't want to show nationalists in any positive light whatsoever. And of course, when they do show us, we end up being seen in a positive light. Like this program that was on the other week that basically showed that the people involved in nationalism are decent, good people. Generation Identitaire came across very well, very, very well in it, saying that they have good-looking, intelligent young people who do not wish to be degenerate and get drunk. And that's basically how they feel and what sort of people they are. Good people. Nationalists are good people. We are doing what we're doing because we know that it's right. There was a speech I was listening to the other day, and they said about it, we know what we're doing is right. You know inside that what you're doing is right and that you are a good person. This is the shocking thing. You know, we know that we are good people, and yet we're just slandered all the time by this left-wing media. And then they wonder why we are against them, why we are against the left when they just lie about us all the time. And they wonder why we're against Jews when this media is owned by Jews. ITV, BBC, Sky, they're all run by Jews. The newspapers are all owned by Jews. It's been like that for decades. So the people that fund these documentaries, they're Jews, they're Jewish. Look at who owns Facebook, Jewish. Look at Google, Jewish. Look at Yahoo. It's even a Jewish word, Netanyahu. All these, YouTube, all these organisations are run by Jews, and all of them work to silence people that are positive about the white race, people that speak up for white people, people that say that it's okay to be white. I mean, that's all we are saying. So this is why these organisations try to infiltrate us, is to try and frighten people off from joining us, and so that they can misuse our words and take them out of context, twist them to try and make us sound bad. But in this programme the other day, they failed. They really did fail at that. If I had seen this programme 20 years ago, before I was a nationalist, it would have really made me think, why are these guys bad? Why are they supposed to be the bad guys? I don't understand it. But I can remember seeing Mark Cullett, with Russell Brand on the television years ago. And BNP guy, he's supposed to be the bad guy. And Mark Cullett's parents were on there. And they were asked whether they were racist or not, something like that. And they said, well, we're not racist, but you know, we would like to see Britain remain for the British. Or they might have said, a white Britain remain for the white British. And I can remember seeing that and thinking, well, what's wrong with that? Hang on a minute. What's wrong with that statement? What is wrong with Britain remaining for the British? And yet this was supposed to be a horrible statement, a horrible, horrific statement that we were all supposed to be disgusted at. But it's basically common sense. It's like in this recent documentary, when we're supposed to be horrified and disgusted that the National Front want to execute pedophiles, or that Anne-Marie Waters is shocked because Mohammed is the most popular boy's name for newborn babies. These are common sense things that the general public feel. And these program makers, they've obviously misjudged how people think. It's like in America when they had that the campaign for the program that was a fiction program that was supposed to be about America if the National Socialists had won the war. And it showed you a white mother, a white father and family and clean living. And everyone was supposed to be shocked at that. And they weren't. People thought, well, that's wonderful. What's wrong with that? And it's the same with this documentary. You've got people, patriotic people, Anne-Marie Waters saying she does what she does because she loves her country. She loves her country and does not want to see it turned into the Middle East. 90% of the country are going to be sympathetic to that. They're not going to be thinking how horrible this is. Now, surely the program makers must know that. Either the program makers have got so much hubris that they don't understand that, and they think that they're so all-powerful and can control public opinion that they can get away with that. Either it's that reason, or the reason why they put that on is because they want to intimidate people into not joining our meetings because they might be spied upon. They might then be seen on the television. They might then get doxxed and be attacked by the left-wing terrorists. So I'm not sure which of the two, whether it's hubris or whether it's that they just wanted to intimidate people, or maybe a bit of both. Anyway, as I say, next week, I'm hoping to get Julie Lake on, probably on the Daily Traditionalist, because she was spied on by these girls for quite some time. One of them, she realized, was a spy, and this girl wanted to go to the National Front demonstration, and Julie directed her to the Antifa meeting point. And of course, this girl went to the Antifa meeting point, and it's all on this documentary. And she says, "Oh, I got there, but I couldn't find the people I was supposed to be with, so I just joined the demonstration anyway." And what she means by joined the demonstration, joined the counter demonstration, joined the leftists that were arrested for violently attacking the National Front. This is what happened: that the left violently attack us, and we defend ourselves against them. Antifa don't have their own demonstrations. They only go along to our demonstrations with the professed idea of smashing the fash, or bashing the fash, or smash Nazism. The only reason they are there is to cause violence. They want to do violence to white people. The White Man March a while back, they had a sign, "Smash the White Man March." They're just violent thugs. Reality is the absolute opposite of what we have been taught all our lives. The nationalists are the good guys. The Nazis are the good guys. They were the good guys in World War II. White supremacists are right. And it's these left-wing humanitarian types that claim to be tolerant and claim to love the world. They're evil. Pure evil, promoting pedophilia, promoting that it's wrong to want to execute pedophiles, that it's wrong to not want your own race to be genocided, that it's wrong to want your own country for yourselves. Thanks to these left-wing humanitarians. We've now got two-year-olds being visited in nursery by transsexuals, and transsexuals reading them stories to two-year-olds, deliberately to confuse them about their gender identity when they're at a very young age, and they cannot give consent to see something like that. The parents should be, I don't know what the parents are doing, allowing the children to see something like that. But this is what the left does. Another thing that we can thank the left for recently, Baby Elsie. I don't know if our listeners have heard about that. Baby Elsie was adopted by two homosexuals. They'd been going through the adoption process for a year, and they actually had Baby Elsie for 2 weeks, and within 2 weeks, Baby Elsie was dead, and multiple fractures, bashed in brain, horrific bruising, just far too many injuries to list. And this faggot basically just used the baby as a club, bashed the baby around and bashed its head in until this poor baby died. And the grandmother had wanted to adopt this baby, and the grandmother was turned down so that social services could hand the child to two perverts, so that one pervert could then bash her brains out. Beautiful, cute kid. Brains bashed out by a homosexual pervert pedophile due to political correctness. Because the adoption agency wanted to look as if they were pro-homosexual and were not homophobic. And the child's family have spoken out about this. They said, why were we not given our blood relative to adopt? Why was she given to these two? Well, the reason why she was given to those two is because of the left-wing promotion of homosexuality and the left-wing pushing and advocacy for faggots to kidnap children and claim that they are their own so they can have a child like an accessory. It's the latest fashion accessory for faggots, is to claim that you've adopted a child. And that's what these two homosexuals did. And the poor child was tortured to death, basically. Thankfully, he's in prison now. But that's an example of what the tolerant left does. And when you think about what the right wing does, when the forum got attacked by the Antifa that I was talking about earlier, we were listening to a speech about the National Front helping the homeless and giving the homeless food, and what the National Front had been involved in outreach in the community. And while we were being talked to about that by Kevin Lazell, rocks coming through the windows, there's all these thugs outside and balaclavaed up, smashing chairs around, smashing windows, beating up this 70-year-old man, as I say, disabled man, who was outside getting fresh air, and he died within 6 months of this attack. And we were listening to how to be positive, how to be good to your community, and the left decided to smash that up. The left really is evil. Nationalism is good. Anyway, I've gone a little bit over time here. So I say thank you very much for listening. Hopefully we'll have Brutus back next week. Don't forget that we do have a Bitcoin wallet, and we do need your donations, and also Morgoth's review. He also will appreciate you buying a beer for him. So until next time, I hope you all have a great week ahead of you.
An alternative to the anti-white system on RadioArian.com.